Welcome back to the Spokespeople Podcast with your sponsor, The Bikeway, here in Omaha, Nebraska. 25 years of serving the community of the greater Metro Omaha area. If you need it, they got it. Come in and see them. And let's get started here. I'm Dave, and I'm with my other outstanding co-host,
FDR.
FDR, which, if you think about it, stands for a lot of different things, but...
Best president ever.
Okay, so since this is not a fantasy literature podcast, we're going to talk about some other things here. We're kind of excited, you know, as we get the ball rolling on the podcast, talking about local events and things that are going on. We think it's also really important to focus on some of the local people that are, you know, key to kind of helping the sport that we all love actually work for us, right? So we have different types of events and races and all different types of trails. But there are certain people out there that are actually kind of sitting in the background, and they don't get a whole lot of attention for what they do. But for those that are into serious competition, they're key people for them. So today we actually have our guest, Ken Tice, with Kilowatt Coaching. And their specialty is really basically training endurance athletes. And we've got Ken here today to kind of talk to us about that. And we'll go over some other things too about the training methodologies that he uses. So Ken, how are you today?
I'm well. Thanks for having me.
Good.
How are you?
I'm good. Thanks for coming in. FDR and I are sitting here kind of excited to kind of pick your brain a little bit about what you do at Kilowatt Coaching. But first, let me ask you a simple question. What actually got you into the sport of cycling itself? Because you're a racer as well, aren't you?
I go to races.
Okay.
Sometimes I just say my entry fee is to give the podium guys some cash for their pocket. But yes, I like to practice what I preach.
Okay. All right, so how long have you been cycling?
As an adult, I got into cycling in 2006.
Okay.
I grew up in rural Indiana, so kids ride their bikes around the countryside,
right?
Until you can get a driver's license, and then the bikes get hung up and collect dust because you can get a lot further in a car and a lot more places. So, yeah, that sport kind of went by the wayside in my life until 2006,
okay.
And that was the, as I recall it, one of the first big like gas hikes in my adult life.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I was driving a big diesel truck at the time, going 5 miles to work in town. And a guy that I worked with said, why don't we could ride our bikes to work. And I looked at him like he was off his rocker, because this was in Northwest Louisiana, and having your bike on the streets there, I just never thought it was a good idea. But he and I lived in the same neighborhood, and he taught me how to get to work using the back roads, and that year I didn't drive my truck much. I got into it pretty deep with commuting, and then picked up a used road bike, started riding that at the lunchtime rides on base, and picking up on group rides, and that all kind of snowballed into what it is now, which is Kilowatt Coaching.
Right. If I recall correctly, I think 2006, I think crude was about 126 a barrel. It was absolutely driving everybody crazy. So if you had any other means of transportation...
Was that 2006 or was that 2008?
2006, 2007.
Okay.
And then it started to kind of tank out, but yeah. It just kind of hit, you know, max velocity.
What was gas, like $5?
Yeah. Crazy. I mean, the diesel was up to about $5, and that's the number that
sticks
in my head.
Oh, diesel was terrible, yeah. So, it was way up there. Yeah.
But you were, now were you still in the services at that time?
Yes, I was active duty Air Force. I just moved there from North Dakota to Louisiana in the end of 2005.
Okay. And you were, if I recall correct, a major, right?
Yes. Yeah, I retired as a major in the Air Force. I was captain at the time. I went down to instruct at the B-52 schoolhouse.
Okay.
So all pilots, navigators, and electronic warfare officers that graduated their undergraduate training then go to the 11th Bomb Squadron. Or not, if they're going to the B-52, they go through the 11th Bomb Squadron. which I was an instructor in.
Okay. I imagine, though, even as a major, they probably didn't let you have that outstanding Dwellin' or Ballin' type beard that you have going on.
Yeah. No facial hair for this guy.
Okay. So
not much on my head either at the time.
I'm kind of disappointed in the fact that we haven't gone video yet because, you know, ladies, I'm just telling you, the beard on this guy is, it flows like beer. It's just beautiful. Absolutely stunning.
Yeah. It's a full Jason Momoa type.
Absolutely.
I just call him Mini Momoa. That's what I call him.
That's actually a really good name for him, to be honest with you.
I do have a client that calls me his guru because I've let my hair and beard grow.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, you could do worse things too.
You're my guru, Ken.
Yeah. Although I would be probably more admiring of a true mohawk, you know, 80s punk mohawk style. I think that would look pretty sick.
Yeah, a good taxi.
Oh, yeah.
Mohawk.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's a little extreme.
A little Robert De Niro taxi. Yeah, you bet. So, okay, let's talk about a couple things here, Ken. You began the startup company Kilowatt Coaching, and the objective behind that was to be able to work with endurance athletes, cyclists, triathletes, marathon runners, and help them in their overall performance of the sport that they've chosen. So tell me a little bit about that, because those sports can be absolutely mentally and physically grueling. So how do you deal with the mental aspect? You know, the mental health of athletes today is kind of a big topic. You know, how do you get them to be able to mentally perform at such levels?
Sure. Yeah, there's a lot of different ways to do it. I'm by no means a specialist in sports psychology. My formal training and coaching is on the physiology of it, but you quickly learn that the psychology plays a big role in how somebody can show up.
Now, do you incorporate at the same time, you know, some of the physiological aspects with the training to kind of blend with the psychological aspects, the mental training?
Yeah, I guess I focus on the physiological stuff and the real nuts and bolts of programming the training. And as you get to know somebody, you pick up on trends. Right. You pick up on trends on their compliance to the programming. You pick up on communication consistencies or inconsistencies. And so it's when these trends start to change is when I start asking questions.
Right.
And I also have to realize that I'm not a therapist. I'm a coach. Mm-hmm. So I'm walking a fine line of asking too much outside of the coaching realm. So I'm always checking in with myself and saying, all right, is this within the construct of this coach-athlete relationship? If so, then I'll ask the question. And my clients have been, you have to build a relationship with somebody.
Sure. Right?
You have to get their trust, gain their trust. And then you can start really digging into things on the mental side of it.
Such as the mental toughness, being able to push
through. Mental toughness or just checking in with somebody like, hey, what's going on?
Right.
You know, you are a compliant athlete, and this week you haven't done anything and I haven't heard from you. What's up? Right? And also I care about my athletes. There's, you know, I think many coaching courses say don't become friends with your clients. That is just impossible.
I disagree with that 100%.
Are most of your clients people that you know locally, or do you?
Most of my clients are local, but I've got a client that came back to me just this week. He's out in New Mexico. Mm-hmm. I've had some clients over in Iowa. Mostly that's the transfer of gravel people that go to and from Iowa. Right, the gravel scene's big over there. It's pretty big in Nebraska too.
Because FDR was in a gravel race just recently. He's probably thinking he needs a coach or a motorized vehicle or something like that.
Ken is my coach.
I have been coaching Dave for a few months now.
Oh, have you? Are you really? Yeah. Seriously? Yep.
Yeah.
Wow. And I'm also
a client.
He's also a client. And he doesn't know this yet, but I think I'm going to take all of his...
You're going to raise his rates? I would.
All of his... He's already given me handfuls of change every month for his fees.
Pockets full of pennies.
Yeah. No, his post-workout descriptions could go in a little memoir book. They're good.
Something like
this. I think he just works out so he can write up how hard the workout was or how good I am at writing.
Right. Well, I'm an English major. What am I going to do?
All right. Well, since I was unaware of the fact that he was actually working with you, let's kind of dig into that a little bit, because that's kind of interesting, because I get both a coach and an athlete perspective. Dave, considering what you're pushing 70 now, right? Something close to that?
Yeah, very close.
How do you feel? Would we have been working together for 4 weeks or so?
No.
We're going on, what, 3 months now?
We're into month four now. Yeah.
And you actually look like, and I'm not saying that just for recording purposes, but I'm actually saying that you actually look like you've lost weight and toned up a little bit. And you're almost, you're almost 60. So that's an impressive feat.
I am 59. And, you know, Ken and I are friends too. We've been teammates. And I've known he's been a coach for many years. And a couple of years, I'm like, gosh, I have Ken coach me. And I just decided like January 1 or something is one of those things, you know. And I'd been thinking about it. And I'm like, you know what? My cross age is 60. So I could go for that at Nationals. And I'm like, you know what? Just do it. How many more years are you going to say, I should do this?
Right.
And I just said, you know, Ken, I want you to coach me. We're working here in the shop. And I'm like, I want you to coach me. He's like, let's do it. And it's just been fully on since then. And like, just hit the ground running. And man, it's just, I'm telling you what, if I'd have done this 5 years ago, it'd be crazy. But
I'm 5 years better at it.
You know, at my age, your body doesn't change that quick. You know, it's going to take.
You realize we're very close in age, right?
Are you 59?
No, okay. But we're close in age.
Oh, okay. So you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I knew this was going to be a long runway. And Kenny, he flew B-52s. He knows all about long runways. So
sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
That was a fantastic analogy right there. I mean, visually, I picked up on that like as if I were watching it on a television screen. But since we have that topic, you've got other people. You've got a diversified group of men and women that you're training and you're coaching. Some of them are, you know, different sports and different athletes. So how do you balance a strength training with a specific cycling workout to try to improve optimal performance, or in comparison to someone who's a pure cyclist versus does triathlons?
Yeah, that's a great question. Mm. First of all, I cater to what my clients, athletes, like to do. Because if you're doing something you like to do, you're more prone to do it. I have some people that just don't go to the gym. And that's okay. I think everyone should go to the gym, though.
I agree.
For the entire audience, Ken totally looked at FDR when he said people who don't like to go to the gym.
I'm one of those. I didn't want to go to the gym.
I was just trying to, you know,
but
maintain eye contact with everyone. But he's
doing three times a week.
Yeah, wow. That's impressive.
Yeah, he does. And I think as we get older, you should incorporate the gym work for many reasons. One, because it just, you build muscle mass and it helps with your bone density. Mm. And when you're carrying more muscle, your metabolism is higher, which means you can afford to eat more without those negative consequences of gaining weight. And like FDR said, to move the needle, the older you get, takes a lot more work and it's slower.
Yeah.
So you can't just crush six rides in a row and take a rest day and do that block by block by block.
Yeah. You're going to get burned out. That was my old approach.
You're going to get imbalanced.
So are you designing like individualized periodization programs for your athletes as well? Like, you know, you're talking about rest and recovery. You know, we look at the rest and recovery. So I'm used to working with elite level soccer athletes. And so we implement a lot of periodization into that rest recovery, because overuse, you know, not managing training loads and things like that, you start to get into injuries. So do you customize them for your individual person? Is there anything specific that you're looking at as far as demographics, male, female, 30, 40, 50, Dave's case, almost 60, you know, when you incorporate that into their training?
Yeah, absolutely. I kind of have a, you know, there's a on-ramp to training with a coach if you haven't done structured training. And that on-ramp can be a month, 2 months, to get used to how I communicate and build workouts and my programs, and also how my clients communicate. So everyone in my program gets their own program. I have some clients that have static rest days and some clients that have work that cause them to travel. So we try to balance the travel and the recovery and the work. Some of them want to work out on the road. And actually they have more time to do it while they're away from home than they are at home. And I had another client when she traveled, we tried that for a while, and her workload on the road just was too heavy for her to get in the gym regularly. Right. So we lightened up her travel load and went heavier when she's at home, when she's got access to her gym, her bikes, her trainer, right, all of her resources.
The things she yeah, knows.
Right. I start everyone on a periodized, you know, 3 weeks on, 1 week of recovery. And those 3 weeks on are, everyone gets one rest day in that, in those week blocks too. That's very important. That's when our body grows. It's when we're resting.
And you're also, you're adjusting the training for the type of, you know, for cyclists. You know, it's a very broad topic. Yeah, it is. You know, it's a lot of different hats if you think about it.
Yeah.
You got mountain bikers, gravelers, you know,
right. So well, and even on the, even within the cycling, you know, under the cycling umbrella, I've got FDR who are getting ready for Masters cross nationals in the fall. And I've got other clients that are doing ultra events. There's an ultra race in a couple weeks called the Iowa Wind and Rock. I've got a client going to, it's 350 miles of gravel.
Yeah, that's a tough one.
In April. In Iowa.
That's probably the toughest one of all.
And it's the format of it makes it difficult. And then I've got another cycling athlete, and she's getting ready for her first ultra at World Time Trial Championships in Borrego Springs in November.
Okay.
So where my ultra endurance cyclists, they've got to just really train the aerobic system. They've got to train their ability to hold back versus go as hard as they can, because they've got to stay on the bike for 24 to 35 hours. And then I've got FDR over here, who his race is probably going to be an hour, as hard as he can go. So those athletes get way different training programs because what you want to do is meet or exceed the demands of the event. Mm-hmm. So that's what we train to. He's going to do a lot of HIIT work, a lot of on and off, a lot of high intensity. Mm-hmm. We're going to try to build up the volume over the summer to build a really deep fitness base.
Okay.
And then taper him down to November where he can go as hard as he can for an hour.
Okay. So, you know, you talk about HIIT, high intensity interval training. I'm curious, just from my own personal understanding of it, is, you know, figuring out how to improve the cardiovascular fitness of an endurance athlete. You know, soccer players are endurance athletes by all definition. Cyclists, triathletes, marathoners, you know, we're talking about now, they use their cardiovascular system differently, right? They use it differently. But what strategies are you using to kind of improve the endurance of your athletes from a cardiovascular standpoint? You mentioned HIIT, but is there anything else that you're utilizing to try and improve that VO2 max and kind of get them so their cardiovascular health is, you know, sharp as a razor?
Yeah, absolutely. In cycling, the base number that drives all of the other numbers is functional threshold power. Mm-hmm. And that's to avoid a deep dive on it, it's about the intensity that you could maintain for an hour. Mm-hmm. And there's a few testing protocols. The one that I prefer to use is the 20-minute test. And so an athlete will go all out for 20 minutes, and 95% of that is their FTP. And then you build your workouts around that. So over FTP would be, you know, anaerobic, below aerobic to a certain point. And I've really liked recently using low heart rate training for that base fitness, which if people are have access to like a physio lab and you do a VO2 max test in a lab hooked up to all the apparatus and computers to measure it out, it would be your maximal fat oxidation heart rate.
Right.
So I want to keep my athletes below that when they're doing their base stuff. And when you're below that heart rate, you're burning fat for energy, and you can go for a long time without supplementing with some sort of nutrition on the bike or on the run.
So, you know, I don't know if you use this, but like University of Nebraska here in Omaha, UNO, they actually have a whole lab with all that stuff. And I think they, you know, you can have people go in there and they can sign up and pay to do it. It's not like it's very expensive.
Yeah, you can get
I think it's $100 there.
VO2 max testing.
Creighton's got it, I think, for $85. I just looked into it a few months ago. I do have an athlete that he was invited as part of a study, and he did the whole water dunk tank VO2 max test at UNO, and I went along to watch. And so I'd never been to the lab, and so I took some images, and I watched him conduct the test, and I got a copy of the printout, and I was mainly there I wanted to see if the lab results for VO2 were matching my software that I used for analysis, and it was really close.
Okay.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
That's nice.
Some of that software is just, I mean, it's off the chart good. I mean, they've over the years, you know, with all the Fitbits and the Apple Watches and the way they've honed that stuff down, it's really become an outstanding tool for any type of training. Like in soccer, we use multiple different things to measure all different types of data analytics, you know, on our players, heart rate to number of sprints, things like that. In that data, we can use that for all kinds of training purposes to really kind of optimize the health of our athlete as well. So you getting that is really good. And most people probably have something like that. If they're in the level, if they're coming to you for coaching, they probably have something, you know what I mean? Like something they're wearing on their wrist or it's on their bike.
Yeah, and actually I need that to be a good coach.
Right.
And I tell that to them, you know, and I've had some athletes that just want to work on heart rate. That can work to a certain level. We know that the heart has like a 30-second response to intensity. So if you're doing intervals under 30 seconds, using heart rate to measure that is not really.
Yeah, it's interesting when you're on Zwift, you see that little heart rate line with your corresponding with the power. You don't use Zwift, but you can on the bottom, you can see your power, and then there's the heart rate line. You can see how it goes up slower.
Yeah, it responds slower,
and then it comes down slower.
Your interval's over, but your heart rate still could be climbing or peaked out.
So I'm going to assume you are still taking clients?
Absolutely. Yep, okay. Room on my roster.
And how does somebody get a hold of you?
Best way to get a hold of me, if you're doing it through an electronic device, would be Instagram at @kilowatt_coaching.
Okay.
Or you could email me directly at ken@kilowattcoaching.com.
ken@kilowattcoaching.com. On Instagram, @kilowattcoaching.
@kilowatt_coaching.
Yep. _coaching. So
if you go to my website, you're going to see a splash page that this site is under construction because I'd rather ride my bike than work on a website.
Yeah, I get it. I totally get that. So, you know, what would you... Like if you had an opportunity to take somebody who's had zero training, but they're just like, you know, like Dave's been riding for a long time, FDR's been riding for a long time, but somebody walks up and says, you know, it's just always been something I want to do. I haven't done it. You know, do you take that beginning level athlete versus the ones who've been doing it for longer periods of time? Is there any type of standards that you use before you bring a client on? What's the main motivating factor on taking in a client?
Yeah, new clients, we talk on the phone for about an hour. I talk about their goals, what they want to do, their history with sport. I tell them about who I am and what I do. And I also encourage them to go talk to some other coaches before they decide, because that coach-athlete relationship is so important. They've got to trust you as a coach, and they're going to tell you very personal, intimate things through that relationship. So you need to make sure you find the right person for you that you can communicate with, and that's the main part of it. But no, I like clients that are just learning the sport. I like athletes that are already involved, you know, or have been doing it for a long time. You know, like FDR, he's been cycling maybe longer than I've been alive. And
if you were born in 88, maybe.
You know, and so there's a little hesitation to taking on a client who knows what they're doing, because they may have relationships with past coaches and they're going to come in with some sort of bias, right?
Sure.
Which is hard to overcome sometimes.
Yeah, I refer to that as coaching PTSD. Like, I mean, because I get players that have had really bad coaches sometimes, and they're just emotionally, they're not there. You know, there's a whole psychological aspect that you have to take into account. So bad past experiences with coaches can make it more difficult on the relationship you're trying to build with them.
Absolutely.
Well, the other thing is, guys like me, I never had a coach because I always thought that I just knew what I was doing and I was just going to do it my way anyway. And I probably would have kept going with that until one day I just came to the conclusion, like, yeah, but like, how good are you right now doing it your way this whole time? Right. The amount of progress that I've made in like 3 months with Ken and structured training and doing the gym work and everything is unbelievable. I feel like I'm better now than I was 10 years ago. And I can see that on the power levels that I do. And then I look at the heart rate. It's unreal. I'm hitting power numbers at 10 beats a minute less than I was just 3 months ago.
And how much improvement have you made according to your therapist?
My therapist?
He hasn't had time to go to his therapist
because he's been working out training. So much. Exactly.
Yeah, okay. Absolutely.
Which is a different type of therapy. It's a great therapy.
No, you know, I know you're joking, but honestly, I feel like actually better.
Oh, sure.
Like in a better mood, like more of the time. And you guys know me. I'm kind of a jerkhole a lot of the times. But I'm less of a jerkhole now, like generally speaking, I've been a lot calmer.
Well, there's a lot of data on self-perception. And that statement that you just made being completely wrong to how we perceive you being would basically say that, you know, we have some agreement with you on that.
No, what I'm saying
is... But you are
is,
right, Dave. Honestly, you are right.
There is a demonstrated effect of, like, psychological well-being.
Sure. With fitness and health.
Not just that, because I'm always working out, like, all the time for years and years and years. But I wasn't doing the kinds of things, especially with the weight room. That's the big thing. He said, if you lift weights, especially at my age, you're going to see some health benefits that are also going to be like not psychological per se, but with a mood, you know?
Sure.
And I just feel like I'm in a better mood now more often.
Fitness, I mean, in there's a lot of information out there and a lot of data and research shows that utilizing fitness, you know, whether it be weight-bearing exercises, cardiovascular, does actually have a dopamine response. And that does increase mood, improve mood.
Yes, and I've always had that because I'm always working out. Like, except like me in the deep winter when I didn't really do much, but I will now. But
the winters of the month. I mean, you know,
yeah, they're
seasonal,
the
defective. You know,
it's real.
Yeah, it absolutely is.
Yeah,
you know,
but no, there's more to it than just that. I think some of it's the intensity of the training. Because some of it can get pretty intense, and especially in the weight room, because you don't get that intensity until you're hitting that 15th rep, and you're, you know, gibberish is coming out of your mouth, and you're just trying to get that thing up there. And there's something to that, like with like psychologically, and I just think it's cool.
So what it sounds to me is that Ken is your guru.
Oh, 100, man.
So he's the Yabba 100. Baba of gurus.
Yeah, man. Get on board the Ken Kilowatt coaching train.
Okay. Well, I mean, I had no idea that he was working with you on this. Yeah. Had I known that.
It's kind of like ninja training.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't really go around and say, oh, I'm working with that person or that person, that person, you know. I let them.
We're going to have a big reveal here soon. Yeah. So.
Right.
His summer body.
I'm going to have a, what do they call that? A quinceanera, right? It's going to be nice.
Yeah. Five decades too late. Well, listen, Ken, I want to thank you so much for coming on. We really appreciate you coming on to the Wheel World podcast. It has been great talking to you. I'd love to have you come back another time because I know you're really heavy into nutrition and nutrition concepts, and I think that is actually a segment of its own because there's just so much information out there, and there's a lot of bad information out there too. So something that we could kind of give some of the listeners to just some more data on really good nutrition tips. So I'd love to have you come back for that. But we're going to step away for a second. We're going to do a quick commercial from our sponsor, and then we will be back in just a flash. So that is Ken with Kilowatt Coaching. Check him out. I really think that if you want to get into it and you feel like you need some help, I've known Ken for a while. He's definitely a dude I would ask questions of, and I do routinely. So Ken with Kilowatt Coaching, and we'll be back on the Wheel World here soon. All right, we're going to take a second here to give a shout out to our sponsor, The Bike Way. For a quarter century, The Bike Way has been the premier destination for all things cycling in Omaha and beyond, with a legacy of passion, dedication, and community. Discover the latest and greatest from top brands like Giant, Liv, Transition, Santa Cruz, Scott, Bianchi, Sunday BMX, and DK. We've got the perfect ride to fuel your adventure. More than just a shop, explore our extensive selection of apparel and accessories. And the Bikeway Certified Service Department has you covered, from basic maintenance to suspension work to custom builds and everything in between. And while you're here, treat yourself to a delicious cup of coffee. As a rider-owned and operated establishment, you can trust that we're dedicated to providing the best possible experience for fellow enthusiasts like you. So join us at the Bikeway, where every ride is an adventure. Here's to 25 years of riding together and many, many more. We want to thank our special guest, Ken Tice, for coming in with Kilowatt Coaching and talking to us about all the things that he does behind the scenes to kind of help promote the cycling community. Once again, you can always reach him out at Kilowatt Coaching. Your guest host and myself, FDR and Dave, we are here to kind of continue this journey as we go forward. But until then, we want to say thanks for listening in. Tune in next time for new ideas, new people, and maybe new methods of anarchy. Until then, be safe, keep riding.